We are finishing off our Advent series today. We looked at hope and then peace. And today's message is called Love and Joy and a Baby Boy. Because I at first I was going to leave out joy completely. Then I'm like, oh no, we got to have a little bit of joy in the message. And today we're talking about Jesus' birth. So we almost can't help but be joyful when thinking about that. So we're going to talk about love and joy. And as I was thinking about this idea of birth and Jesus's birth, I started thinking about how it is crazy that like every single person, like this is how people come about, they're all born, right? And I started thinking about like my particular situation, about how my parents like ended up meeting because my dad went to a church because some guy drove a bus ministry around town, picked him up for Sunday school. He went to that church, and then when he was a teenager, my mom's family moved to town because my papa, my grandpa, he was the pastor. He became the pastor of that church, and that's how my parents ended up dating. And then some years later, when a man loves a woman, then I came about. I'm not going to explain that. You guys have all, we've all heard that talk already. And I don't know the biology side very well. So you can talk to some people who are in the sciences for that end of things if you want to know more details. I would not recommend just Googling wildly some of this. But ask some friends if you need to know. I was born, and actually, along the way for me being born, my mom was in a car accident where she got T-boned, and the car rolled a couple times, and they were super worried that I wasn't going to make it, but I was totally fine, and thinking about the miracle of every single person being here. Thinking about how amazing it is that each of you comes from a story that is unique to you. Is amazing. And when I think about all of the things that brought us here, it kind of makes it to me like when we think about all of the stories in this room that come together to be here now, to worship God, and to hear from Him, I'm blown away. It is crazy the way that God weaves stories together. And today we're going to look at a particular story, the story of Jesus, a particular birth. It just seems like any other birth, right? But this birth gives us an idea that even though it's a particular birth, that it's Jesus being born, that we get an understanding in this child and then who will be a man. We understand a universal truth about what all of humanity was made in and what we are called to live into. And that's love. That's this perfect love. And I'm not saying that you are all going to love perfect. But part of our call as believers in Christ, if you call Jesus your Savior, is to step boldly and more fully into God's love. Is giving ourselves over to Him. And what we see in the birth of Jesus is that love becomes incarnate. In 1 John 4:16, it says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And Jesus was God, but then He lived in this perfect love. He stepped into this perfect love, and we have to celebrate that this perfect love became a child. Because without the child, without the birth, there's no cross, there's no death, and there's no resurrection and new life for each and every human being. And we can only understand love because God first loved us. In 1 John 4:19, it says just that, we love because He first loved us. And that He gave His only Son because He loved the world. And that's the passage that we're going to explore today. Then that's we're going to just look at the idea of love and joy in this story. We're not going to unpack a terrible amount about it, but be thinking on those two things. And then joy, the second part, is joy is one of those things that I think is both chosen and stepped into, but also experienced. And so I think there's a lot of stuff in the Christian community where it's like being happy is bad. Being happy is good. God wants you to be happy. But if we're just constantly seeking happiness, this like momentary fulfillment, we're not doing it right. But part of living into this love is stepping into a life that chooses love, that chooses to be joyful, that chooses to be surrendered to God. And when we choose that, we can experience the fullness that God has for our lives. We can experience this joy that is so much bigger than a moment. But at the same time, that doesn't mean we can't be joyful and rejoice in moments. It doesn't mean that we can't have this it's to me, it's almost like this like, there's like joy on top of the cake and there's joy on the bottom. You know, when like a whole cake is good all the way through, it's like, yeah, the whole thing's full of joy. I don't know, cake. Cakes are pretty joyful, I think. Birthdays, Jesus' birthday, we got a cake. Good, full circle. But joy is one of those things that Paul says to us in Philippians. He says, rejoice. Rejoice, and again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. There used to be this song that we sang when I was a little kid. It's funny, I talked about hymnals earlier, and it was like, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. And then there would be like, the ladies would be like, rejoice, rejoice, and then the men would do it. It was funny. Church was funny back in the 90s. But there's such a good truth in those words that it's we're called to rejoice in the Lord always. And that means, it means understanding that joy comes from giving ourselves over to Him in stepping into this perfect love that He has for us. And that joy is going to abound all the more when we push into that in the bad times, but also the good times. They're going to be really good because God's glory will shine through those who give themselves over to Him and who are obedient to Him. So let's look at this story and just unpack a little bit of that. So it is Luke 2, 1 to 21, and it says this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. No room in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone. I say shone because I'm Canadian. We're weird. Shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest in the heaven, or sorry, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. I think that story is one of those stories that you have probably heard dozens, if not like 100 times. If you watch Charlie Brown, it's on there. If you watch some stuff on TV, if you come to church at Christmas time, it's at least once or twice. But it's one of those stories that is so amazing because it's this particular birth. It's this birth of Jesus. But it's this perfect image of God being born into the world that would become the man Jesus that each and every person is called to model their life after. This is not just any boy being born, any person being born. It's the Son of God. And this angel comes and tells these shepherds. And I think it's so interesting that they're shepherds. To me, it's just so fitting that it's not like the people in the town. It's not some of the rich people who are like, oh, I had to go back to my roots. I'm from this area. It's these dirty people hanging out in the field in the middle of the night. And to me, it's just a great picture that God wants to tell people, and he doesn't care who it is. And sometimes the most unsuspecting people are going to be the people that witness to us. And maybe you're the unsuspecting person that is going to get to witness Jesus to someone. Because what we see after they go and see Jesus is that they couldn't help, after they were there, but going out and telling every single person about what they had seen and what they had heard, and everyone was amazed and shocked. And I'm sure, like, you can only imagine in a town this size, people were flocking to the, I have no idea if this is the truth, but I can only imagine people were flocking to the area, or people are like, oh, I want to see this kid. What's, like, it just looks like a baby. I don't get it. But, like, these angels and all this stuff, like, it's one of those things that they couldn't help but being joyful about. And when we meet Jesus and we spend time with Jesus, it's one of those things. It's a reality that when we spend time with him and we spend deep time with him, relational time with him, we can't help but be joyful. But sometimes it's that chosen joy, right? The shepherds have this experiential, joyful moment, this rejoicing, where they're so excited because they saw the glory of the Lord. They saw this perfect image in a child form. And I don't know if he was glowing or there was something happening, but I can only imagine that there might be something special about the child, right? Obviously, there's something special. He's the Son of God. But when I think about it, I just can't help but be amazed at what this experience was like. But then, when I start thinking about the idea of remembering ways that God has touched my life, or ways that people have touched my life, I start thinking about what Mary experienced here. It says that Mary was storing up these joyful moments. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She stored up this experience, where she saw the glory of the Lord, where she saw these joyful experiences, where she got this confirmation of God working and that she wasn't crazy and that the angel came and that she gave birth to the Son of God, and she can't help but store those up. Because there's going to be times where we need to look back and we have to see the moments where God has interacted with our life. And we can use those to fuel other moments of our life that might not be so joyful. But when we're spending relational time with Him, He will remind us of those and He will bring them to light. But the other thing that I think is amazing is that in the person of Jesus, right, this perfect love lived on the earth, that He took on our sins on the cross, that He died, and He rose again. And that later the Holy Spirit came, and so that we might have life to the full here on earth, where we live in the fullness of what God has for us, constantly pushing into that perfect love. Being able to experience being made in God's image. And God, the more that we push into that, the more that we're going to discover how God's image shines through us. And so because of this baby boy being born, when I see each of you having moments of joy, I get to see the image of God being displayed through each and every one of you. Because of the Holy Spirit is working. He's working in incredible ways through each and every one of your lives, whether you notice it or not. And when we understand that we are made in God's image, and that pushing into this life that Christ has called us into, that God has willed for us, that God has crafted us into, is the fullest life we can live. That when we do that, people are going to see God's image shining through each and every one of you. Lastly, the verse, it's funny, the three verses that I wanted to touch on are the 19, 20, and 21. And I normally leave out 21. It says this: on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. And I normally leave that out because it's like, okay, it's 8 days later. It's not part of the birth story, really. And like circumcision, that's a weird thing to talk about in church. Biology class, you know, you can go Google it, I guess. Do not Google that. Great. That's why I normally skip this one. But I think there's something really cool here. Is that the angel had told them that his name was going to be Jesus before Mary had conceived. And I started thinking about this idea of before our parents had conceived. That God knew us before our parents had even conceived us. And that God has made us in His image. And Jesus came to the earth and lived a particular life. But He lived out the perfect image of God as the Son of God. And we are all invited to discover a life in that perfect love, that perfect joy, that perfect peace, that perfect hope, something that is far beyond anything natural than we can imagine. In this supernatural birth, the birth of Jesus, we get to see that we are made for eternity and that we are made for the here and now, and that God has brought us together. God has brought us together in this place. But God has orchestrated our lives. He has created us, and he knew you before anyone else. And he wants you to know him deeply and intimately so that we might share in this very image we're created in. I have a quote here. This is probably one of my favorite quotes from a book ever. I might have read it this semester. I don't think so. And it's from the Screwtape Letters, and it says this: "For the present is the point at which time touches eternity." And so this moment in time, each and every moment in time, is a moment where we can touch eternity, where we can uncover or discover this image that we're created in, and that the way that eternity has been placed on our hearts, that in the present moment when we're interacting with God and we see him and we have this undergirding of joy within us, that we get to participate in the glory of God, and God will be brought glory through each and every one of you. And all he asks is for us to give ourselves over to him and to live out a life of love. And so the takeaway for today is to be joyful, but also to understand this image that you're made in. And it's not one of those things you're like, I get it, I'm made in God's image. Like, yes, it's a thing we can kind of conceive in our heads. But a lot of it is living out a life given over to God, experiencing life in him, and investing in him. And also seeing moments in our lives where God's glory shines through. Whether it's through you, or if you see it in someone else. And sometimes it's going to come from the craziest people, like the shepherds bringing this joy and this confirmation to Mary and Joseph. But look for it.